Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. That was The Words You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and then sung by Shout Even Shy, an amazing poem that we open most of the shows with. And you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by A.P. Taylor, and we all hang at allpoetry.com. Allpoetry.com is one of the largest places out there to write, to hang out, and to meet other poets. And it's free to join. They have paid memberships as well. But for those who are members or decide to join, you can find us under the group tab, A Team of Voices. Knock on the door, and I will let you in. You can hang out with us. Participate if you're interested. You can just listen to the show from the chat room. If you would like to call, the number to reach us is 1-646-668-2837. Again, that number is 1-646-668-2837. And we share the links to the poetry that you hear on the shows on the chat wall so that you can follow along as we read and comment if you're interested. We have shows almost every night of the week, And each show has its own host with their own prompts and rules. And each topic for the shows are listed above the chat wall in the chat group, and they all start with the date of the show. So you can just click on, see what the prompt is, and if your muse is inspired, write, share a link from allpoetry.com, and we will share your work on the show. You can call and read live for us. You can send us a YouTube of you reading, or an MP3, or an MP4, or a SoundCloud, and we will convert them and add them to the studio. And you can also request a reader, and one of us will read your poem for you. And with all that said, this is Deborah Lee, and I'm one of the board members, and those members are me, and I mentioned AP Taylor, the sponsor, earlier, and Sweet Pea, and my big brother, Hatter, and my co-host tonight, and every Monday. Hey, Hatter.
Hey, Deb. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I need about 9 more points from Diggs, my fantasy football.
Okay. Well, there's still a quarter and a fourth, I guess, or a third. Yep. So we shall see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Any given Sunday and Monday and Thursday. Funny how that worked out, huh?
It is. Uh-oh.
And right behind Jay Hatter is none other than Stephen76. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello. Yeah, I get to see my team beat the heck out of the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
It's been a strange first week of football, that's for sure. And Aaron Rodgers just looks like he's got a pretty decent injury, so we'll have to watch and see how that goes. Quite a few players hurt.
Yeah,
he had a boot on too, so we shall see.
Yeah.
And then we had quite a few injuries during preseason and stuff like that, and in the first games. So it's like an NFL football soap opera. And right behind Stephen is Mr. David Prophet, the creator of The Dark Mother. Hey, Dave, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb.
Glad you're here.
Thank you.
I'm glad to be here. And I just saw your cotton candy ice cream message, and I agree. I don't know that the gunpowder ice cream would taste too good, but I bet you the cotton candy ice cream is pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, I was, you know, when I went to the store, I was looking in the freezers, and I was looking for something different, and I saw cotton candy, and I said, I've got to try this. I've got to tell Deborah about it, too.
Yeah, I saw that, and I was like, I hope he has a sweet tooth, because I bet you it's really sweet. Okay, well.
Yeah, I bet it is.
How about, since I'm sure Stephen's got to get some sleep for work, if we click on his poem that's on the chat wall and have him lead us off? And I forgot to mention that tonight the show is all about first responders on this sad 22nd anniversary. I can't believe it. 22 years ago it happened, and it just doesn't seem plausible that it could be 22 years ago. I was watching some of the ceremonies today, and when they said 22 years, I was like, wait, what? So I was shocked. And tonight doesn't necessarily have to be about 911, just all those amazing first responders that run in to help everyone when we all go running in the chaos to get away from the disasters. So they all are amazing, incredible people, and we're featuring them tonight. So, Stephen, show us what you got, please.
Okie doke. Yeah, I brought one that I wrote about the HBO show called Band of Brothers, which is the true story about Easy Company in World War II. And this one I call, it was also inspired by that picture of the paratroopers that you put on the board. in the topic. I call this one TNT and 88s start easy company to their fates. At the aircraft guns barrage the night while the battered city burns, bunker of maps shows 88s where the enemy takes his turns. A ration tin does not satiate as eyes and belly do spurn, for the trench by trees in no man's land is now in the soldier's urn. Ribbons and medals won do not erase the losses felt that day, though points west now textbook out the route that easy played. Here today and gone tomorrow on battlefield bodies lay, pining for home and peace of land that scarred bones strive to stay. End poem.
Wow. Okay, for starters, amazing title there. TNT and 88 start easy company to their fates. It had a pretty cool rhyme taking us into the dangers and stuff there. And wow, I'm looking at the GIF here, and it's pretty cool. I can see, like, the bombs bursting in the background and stuff like that. Way cool. But the imagery, anti-aircraft guns barrage the night while the battered city burns, and that is a perfect caption for the art that you shared above it. And then you have all the details, like the bunker map show 88s where the enemy takes its turn. And further down, ribbons and medals won do not erase the losses felt that day. And it's like such a true statement. Like, you know, you're a hero, you could have paid with the emotional scars or physical scars or body parts or the ultimate sacrifice of death. And, you know, there's those ribbons and medals, and you know, they are awesome, but you're so right. They don't erase the loss, the gut-wrenching things that are seen and done in the name of war, in the name of defending your country. And I think you say all that in just eight lines quite well here. Here today and gone tomorrow on battlefields, bodies lay. And the image of that is compelling. It's extremely powerful and sad and gut-wrenching. Like I said, eight lines, Stephen, but you packed those lines. Amazing share. What you think, Hatter?
One thing I've noticed that when they interviewed World War II vets, the pilots and the Navy guys, they were able to, how do I say it, the guys that stormed the beach, the survivors that stormed the beach at Normandy, they always had a glassy look over their face. I think it was a bit of survivor's guilt. Most respect for it. A good piece, good right there, Steve.
Thanks, Hatter. Yeah, my grandfather was on the beach, so I kind of know that look.
Wow.
Great comment, Hatter. And David, what you think?
Oh, I really like this. I think the reason that some of those guys have such funny looks on their faces, that beach landing at Omaha Beach in Normandy was terrible. And those guys just got cut down by those pillboxes on the beach there, those German, I think they're MG-59 machine guns, were shoot almost 1,000 rounds a minute at them. And there was no place to hide. I mean, it's just step out of the landing craft and get shot, you know. And the 88s, I really like the use that you put the 88s into this, because that's an 88 millimeter anti-aircraft and artillery cannon that the Germans were really fond of. And they used them on anti-aircraft, and they used them on artilleries, and they were just a general purpose gun. And I think you did a really good job on this, Stephen. It shows especially in the last stanza here, it shows what a waste war is, and it makes us all wonder, well, if we can see this, then why the hell do we keep having wars? I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know, and it's a terrible thing, and it's a big waste of life, but I don't know. I thought your poem really did justice to this, and I was amazed that you got all of that information in on 8 lines, just like Deb said. So nice job. Really nice job.
Thanks, Dave.
Fantastic comment. And, yeah, I'm glad you were able to come, Stephen. And I just loaded Angel's poem on the board. Hey, Stephen, did you want to plug your books before you leave?
Oh, sure. Thank you. Yeah, the books that I have available right now, I have the Erie series, which includes the Erie Depths, the Erie Ocean, and the Erie Islands, all available on Amazon.com, Goodreads.com, and BarnesandNoble.com. I also have a book of short stories called What Lurks Behind the Eyelids, available on the same venues. Yeah, and currently working on another. I'm enjoying it. Thanks.
Wow, and that last one, what a title. That's incredible. And we can tell you're enjoying them because you're just putting them out there. That's fabulous. Heather, did you want to say something?
Oh, I thought you forgot to thank that one Italian guy who bought your book.
Oh, yes, and the Italian guy who made me an international author. Thank you very much, sir.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. All right. I'm going to read for Angel, but Stephen, I just want to say give Kay a hug from me, and I will read from Miss Angel now. And her poem is called One Gave All by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. The twin towers were ablaze with red-hot cherry flames, licking, devouring all as a ravenous beast. Thick, choking smoke blinding him, causing his lungs to labor. Still, he forged on. People were screaming, walls of fire consuming them, dying horrific deaths. He put his life at risk to save a brother firefighter before a wall of fire incinerated him. This was his final gift, to walk into the fire to save a life, giving his own, the ultimate sacrifice made. End poem. And this is exactly what I meant and what I touched on at the beginning of the show. These heroes go running into the nightmare when most of us run to try and get as far away as possible. And I couldn't imagine the intestinal fortitude it would take to make yourself run into walls of flames, as Angel just put them. I mean, there's many, many ways to be a hero, in my eyes. It doesn't have to be so graphic and so tragic. It can be little things, but this is ultimate sacrifice. And to do so for your fellow firemen, for your brother in arms, takes a special kind of person. Great poem, Angel, and it was my honor to be your reader. And let me go to Stephen, that way he can get to sleep. What you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I thought it was a very, very powerful piece. I was just telling her in my comment that I can still remember it all as if it were yesterday, because once I got home from dropping my son off at school, I just kind of sat there watching it all happen all on the news live, and it was just, as she said, it was worth it, as she said in the poem. And yeah, she did a very good job, you know, shedding light on those, like you were saying, Deb, those who ran toward the danger rather than away. It's an amazing piece. Very well done.
Excellent comment. Thank you very much. And like I said, please give Kay a hug for me. And David, what do you think?
Yeah, I really like this. I thought it was really well done. I'd like to reiterate what Stephen said. I was getting ready to go to work myself, and I came downstairs, and a friend of mine called me up. He says, "Hey, turn on the news." And I just stood there with my mouth open. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And so I drove to work, and I just thought about it all the way in there. I think she did a really fine job in describing this, talking about everything that the firefighters and rescue people had to go through, not only in the building, but down in the rubble and stuff, trying to dig people out of it. Man, it was just an amazing thing. And I also agree with what you said, Deb. You don't have to be a hero or anything like that. You don't have to necessarily die for recognition. The Doors came out with a song called "The Unknown Soldier," and there's a passage in there that goes, "Has to be dead to be, the unknown soldier has to be dead to be admired," and that's not true, But anyway, it reminded me of that, and I think this is really, really a fine piece of work. I really do, and she nailed the subject right on the money with this poem.
She sure did. Fabulous comment. And yeah, I agree, guys. It's one of those things that you pretty much will always remember where you were,
mm-hmm.
when you found out. And I can remember before we realized that it was the airplanes and stuff, excuse me, at the time, my husband had come in and woke me up and told me what happened, and I clicked the TV on, and the first thing I did was call my mom at work and say, "Mom, they're bombing us. Come home. Please come home. Get out of there." And she's like, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Go." She at the time worked in the accounting department at a nursing home, and I said, "Find the TV room and go turn the TV on, and then come home." And it was, no matter where you look, they were talking about it. And the more that unfolded and we found out about the airplanes and that it was more than one spot that it was done, it was just one of those horrifying mm-hmm. days that will stay with you forever. And again, I cannot believe it's been 22 years. My mom's been gone 14 years now, but she was my first phone call that day. She was my first phone call a lot of times when I needed to share or cry or whatever the case may be. Different subject. Let me see what Hatter thought. Hatter, are you muted?
You say that? Oh, yeah. I agree with everything you said. I was driving, and I got home just in time to see the second plane hit. I don't think I was ever so angry in my life.
Me too.
You couldn't fathom what was really happening or why. The amazing thing is there wasn't an airplane in the sky for the rest of that day and the next day, I believe,
mm-hmm.
which is a feat. Which is a feat in itself to ground all aircraft, all flights in the United States. But, what is a hero? You're right. You just watch these guys, watch the videos of these guys running into the towers. My God. Without hesitation. That's a hero.
Yeah. And, another thing that sticks with me from that day is when the, I think it was a CIA agent that went in, and President Bush was reading a story to some children. And when they went in, he went in and whispered in his ear. And the look on President Bush's face said it all. And
shame on the conspiracy nuts who made it sound like Bush had something to do with it. You know, shame on them.
I agree.
I was going to say we don't do politics on a team of voices, but I have to say I've never been more proud of a president than I was when he stood up and did some of the things that he did to get us through that time.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And Giuliani
no matter what,
also.
And it's a shame to see how things change. But no matter what political party you're affiliated with, you have to have been proud of that man because, I mean, it was unprecedented to have this happen here on our home land. And he did an amazing job. And on that note, I forgot to mention at the beginning of the show that I'm trying my best to fit the show into an hour. So I'm going to say that the next poem is on the board, and it's by Gerald Green. So if you guys click on his link, I will push his recording.
Ultimate Responders, written and read by Gerald Green. It was an exercise. A test. A blue armband labeled me as one to kill or be killed. The bullets were not real, but tempers flared, and lieutenants led with zeal. Punishment waited in the wings for any hesitation. I strapped the heavy radio on my back and followed the captain into the forest. With map in hand, he told me what to say, instructing each platoon to move to overcome the enemy with armbands made of red. As his instructions unfolded, he realized I could not follow. He grabbed my handpiece, shouting complex orders, saving time. He didn't hesitate, knew exactly what to say. I walked among those men who trained to kill. Watched each soldier hold his rifle close, felt the fear of loss and injury. That evening, there was no celebration, just a time to measure each reaction to opportunity and threat. An army honing skills, ready to respond. End poem.
Great poem. Ultimate Responders. Gotta love that title. So true. The ultimate. I like how he started off. It was an exercise, a test. A blue armband labeled me as one to kill or be killed. And I really don't like assuming, but I am assuming that this is biographical. And I did not realize that Gerald was military, and I wanted to just say real quick, thank you, Gerald. And back to the poem. I strapped a heavy radio on my back and followed the captain into the forest. And imagine, I mean, no matter what age you were at the time, but quite often it was like young men. And they're gung-ho, and they're hyped up to fight for their country and to help save our freedoms. And then the sights and sounds and scents, the scent of death, the scent of explosions, the chaos, been horrifying. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. And he described those things. As his instructions unfolded, he realized I could not follow. He grabbed my hand a piece, shouting complex orders, saving time. He didn't hesitate. He knew exactly what to say. And if he hadn't, imagine how many more people would have been lost. And aside from what I had just said about the young men who are gung-ho, imagine the men and or women responsible for all these other soldiers, Marines, Coast Guards, Army, Navy. I mean, it the monumental responsibility that came with the task of possibly sending someone off to death. You've got to imagine that that would weigh on a person pretty big,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, for sure.
And I like he
for
gave
sure.
the nod. Yeah, and I like the fact that he gave the nod to the person given the instructions. Great share, as always, Gerald. Amazing detail and a powerful, powerful write. Thank you. Hatter, what you think?
I like how he mentioned the games, the war games. After the end of the day, somebody walked in and how did you do? That must have had a reality check, because that's not what you want in real life, of course. But you don't think of that. If it was just called a war game, those that were captured or killed in reality would not be there with you at the time. So I think it's a good parallel, because you don't think about that after the war games they played. It was very good.
Great comment. David?
Oh, yeah, I really liked this a lot. I thought it was really, really well done. You know, when I was in the Army, I was stationed over in Korea on a surface-to-air missile site, and I used to stand up there in the battery control central and watch the launcher crewmen run their crew drills on the launchers, and they were getting them set up to fire. And the situation was very tactical over there. There wasn't any, it wasn't some sort of a make-believe kind of a deal. The North Koreans used to fly their MiGs over the top of the militarized zone over there all the time. They just did it, one or two of them. And most of the time, the Iraq Air Force would shoot them down. And we were up there one day, Christmas Day, as a matter of fact, and I walked into the battery control central up there, and they have these two big fire control consoles with these sweeps that pick up video off the PAR, and you could see these two MiGs running along the line there, DMZ, and pretty soon here coming two more of them, and these were F-100 Super Sabers from the Iraq Air Force. And they ran those guys down, and they ran completely off the scope. And then pretty soon the two blips came back, and the identification friend or foe code came up on the screen, and it said they were South Koreans. And there were no other North Korean MiGs around, so I guess they shot them down. I don't know. But this reminded me a lot of that. Those crew drills are really, really essential. And, you know, we took them real serious, and you know, and then like you said, Hatter, when you come back in, you know, if you're one of the guys that got shot, that is a reality check for you, because in real life you wouldn't be coming back in, you know. And I think this was really, really well worded. I'm impressed with Gerald, and like you said, Deb, I didn't know he was former military either, so that's even better. So anyway, well done.
Great comment. Hatter, did I let you comment? I got sidetracked for a moment.
Yes, you did.
Okay, just wanted to double check. Okay, we have Jenny's, Hatter's, Dave's, and Wayne's left. So if you click on Jenny's, I'm going to read for her. And let me see here. Did it? Because sometimes the board hops. I just want to make sure it's still. Yeah, okay. Let me just move it down here so you guys can click on it. Okay. because sometimes the conversations on the board move it out of the way. All right, this is called Always Remember 9/11 by Jenny the Deep. And here we go. Always will I remember 9/11, the days hundreds of lives went to heaven. I may not have known any of the fallen, but that day in 2001, my heart grew sullen. We must not blame all who are different, but with compassion, we must never forget. 9/11, 2001 matters, for in terror, buildings and lives were shattered. Nothing to laugh about. It wasn't a hoax. Tired of people acting as if it was a joke. Open your eyes and hearts. Many loved ones are still left torn apart. Think of the children and the first responders. Think of all whose lives ended in squander, all because evil does wanted power by destroying lives and two towers. Wanted us all in America to fall divided, but instead we grew united. Very true. I like that she ended it with that. Because it's true that they thought we would crumble, and then all of a sudden, house after house, office after office, building after building, the pride of country came out more than it ever had been in a really lot of years, because they were putting flags everywhere. It was just one of those things that, like I said, it did the total opposite of what they wanted it to do. It brought us strength and camaraderie, and for a little bit, at least, people were concerned with their neighbors and what had happened, and it just, it's mind-blowing. And the details that she brought out as a reminder, no matter the difference, we were all affected that day, not just the people that live in New York, but the entire country, the entire world, because much later during COVID, we've never had more proof that this is just one world. And the way COVID traveled and wiped us out was proof of that. And the way that everyone from every corner of the world responded to what was going on here with heartfelt condolences and with help when they could, was an incredible thing, and just one more chance to reiterate, it did not bring us down. It made us stronger. United we stand, and never been more true than during that time. And there were thousands of people killed. Then add into that the first responders that went running in to help and wound up eventually from all the asbestos, they got cancer, and the crushed families. And it was just, there are still repercussions being felt today. And you could hear it in some of the voices of the people at the Twin Towers spot today that were reading the list of names, and they had a moment of silence for each name. And the one man stood up and he said, "For my sister," and then said her name, and he could barely get it out. Even 22 years later, his pain was as fresh as it was yesterday, and my heart broke for him. But great poem. Honor to read for you, Jenny. Thank you very much. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, I think she's right. The everlasting effects of the loss of that day, even the ones like myself, I didn't know anybody in the towers that day, but I surely felt it. It could have been. And I think that's what united it. It's the same scenario as what the admiral for the Japanese fleet after the Pearl Harbor, he said, I think we have woken a sleeping giant.
And exactly.
He's right.
Yeah.
And, I wish we could bond as a nation without that having to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Great comment, Hatter. And Dave, while I get your link, will you comment for Jenny, please?
Yeah, I'd love to. It seems that the whole world underestimates America and Americans. They don't think about any of the stuff when they cook it up, and then they reap the repercussions afterwards of going, holy cow, wow, they really got mad. Yeah, no fooling. It was a uniting kind of a deal. You know, it's the United States of America. It's United We Stand, you know. I was proud of America for how we all pulled together and stuff. And then this, when Putin started running his pie hole about using nukes and stuff like that, and I thought to myself, yeah, you just pull that crap on America and see how far you get. You know, you just have no idea about our resolve for things, you know. We have the best equipment, the best people, the best soldiers, the best ideology about this, that sort of stuff. And it doesn't get any better than America. And I think this poem here shows that off really, really well. Yeah, this was a good one. I really enjoyed it. Good job, Jenny.
Yeah, remember the pictures of Iraq after the news of the towers being hit? They were celebrating in Baghdad. Yeah, when shock and awe first started, I remembered that. When shock and awe, when we first bombed Baghdad invasion, it was like, yeah. What did you expect?
Yeah, I thought to myself, you guys aren't going to be laughing pretty soon. You know.
Very true. Very true. Yeah. Okay, well, David, I put your link on the board, so show us what you got.
Okay. This is kind of on a lot smaller scale, put it out on the family side of things. And this one's called There She Is. And it's got my imaginary little daughter, Chelsea, in it. And it sounds like this. Oh, Daddy, my best friend ran away. She left home this morning. Which friend is that, Chelsea? I asked my dearest daughter. Well, it's Doris, but I call her Dory. But you know that, Daddy. Why did she run away, Chelt? Her parents were fighting again, I think. Okay, let's go see if we can find her. Thank you, Daddy. I love Dory. I know you do, sweetheart. Can we take Sanford, too? Yes, we'll take Sanford along. So Chelsea, Sanford, and I piled into the metro. Off we went into town, only about a mile away. We checked a few stores, and there was no Dory in any of them. We finally went into Joe's restaurant. Has a big sign on the front of it that says, breakfast served at any time. There was Sergeant Smith, Joe, and Dory was sitting on a stool talking with Sergeant Smith. Joe was leaning on his countertop with his arms folded like he always does. Hey, Dave, how are you this morning? Came his greeting to me. Chelsea ran up to her friend. She put her little arms around Dory and started crying. Then they were both crying. Sergeant Smith turned to me and he says, can you take her back home, Dave? Yeah, but I'm taking her to my house, not back to that screaming match she just left. Yeah, I know, Sergeant Smith remarked. Dave, take her to your house, and I'll swing by her house and see if I can calm things down a bit. Okay, girls, let's go back home. Dory, you can stay at my place tonight if you want to sleep over for you and Chelsea then. The girls began giggling. they hugged Sanford. They ran out of the door with him holding onto his tail. He liked that just fine. As for her parents, well, I don't know about that. Maybe I should adopt Dory. Two young ladies? Wow. But I can handle that. In fact, I'd love it. End poem.
You know, Dave, I really like that you went with your, quote, imaginary daughter here, because I know you've spoke quite a few times on how much you would have liked to have a little girl. So I like that you incorporated that into here, and your heart was showing, as you did, oh, Daddy, my best friend ran away. And it speaks really well to the Norman Rockwell painting that you chose. And I like off we went into town, only about a mile away. We checked a few stores, and there was no Dory in any of them. And we finally went into Joe's restaurant. And I, like I said, I love how you incorporated your heart with the art and the fact that you would step up and you would have taken her home and taken care of her in a heartbeat and loved every minute of it. The girls started giggling and they hugged. Just all these little endearing parts that brought the story to life. And I like that you... did it in our king of storytelling way with the conversation and the details. Here's a big sign on the front that says breakfast served at any time. And there was Sergeant Smith, Joe, and Dory. She was sitting on a stool talking with Sergeant Smith. And because she was sitting there, I'm sure it was like an instant sense of relief because she couldn't be any safer than she is sitting right there where she's at, you know. This was a very endearing story, and that officer is probably, you know, you got to wonder how many times those little things, just having the conversation and making her feel better, is another one of those heroic things that only took a few minutes, and there was no, you know, fire or explosion, but her world felt distraught and at end,
yeah.
And he just made it better. And I think this story came out fantastic.
Yeah, I just saw that, and it just, I thought, boy, there's a story for Chelsea. You know, I got to bring this out, you know, I really enjoyed writing this, you know, it almost had me in tears, but it was fun to write, and I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, no, I could hear that too when you read the emotion showed, and that also made it more potent of a story. Hatter, how about you comment for David and then read yours for us?
Okay. Yeah, I want to thank you, David, for bringing up a memory of one of mine, two little girls, Mandy and Michelle. We almost adopted because of a mother that wasn't ready to be mother at the time.
Uh-huh.
And we came, I thought we were, I thought it was going to happen. And at the last moment it didn't, but I don't remember ever seeing my parents argue. That was a rule they had. Kids, I guess. And my parents were great that way. I couldn't imagine the screaming and yelling and everything else that comes along with it with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, I agree with you, Hatter.
Okay, let's see. French poodles all... And in line, there's a dog, is I guess. There's something you must all hear, a canine announced as the dog of the year. He saved 9 children from a house in flames. For this, you need to know his name. Rage is more than just a pet. He's trained to bring what you told to fetch. He saved the lives of his owner one night, jumped from a cruiser during a fight. Without commands, he needed to be right. Crooks were bleeding. Many dog bites. A medal of valor he wore, he's one more than two stuck in a fire, he'll come to you. After that night when he saved 20 lives, the fire he fought alone, the statue stands for his heroic deed carved from the barking stone. He's trained to save. He does it all day. All he wants is a snack. Tell him to run. Before he's done, he stops the terrorist attack. Quite the dog talker. He loves those dog knockers. Bench poodles all stand in line. Breeding is fun, but when it's all done, he's singing all the enzyme.
I love it.
the ending was really cute, but all the way through, for one thing, I really love that you chose the dog. I'd hope somebody would, because like we mentioned that the young soldier, and we mentioned the officers that were sending them into war, but imagine from a dog's point of view that the stuff that they have seen and done, and how you could even train a dog to do some of the things that they do, usually for a treat or to tug of war on their favorite toy or whatnot. And I know that a lot of dogs are, in their heart of hearts, nothing's more important than their human, and they instinctively stick up for us and stuff like that. But like it just seems so incredible to think that these animals would jump in. They would jump into a fire to save their human, and then afterwards, how many of them were lost? Back to 911 for a second. How many of them were lost because they were sniffing for survivors and or bodies, and they were sniffing in that asbestos and stuff on 9/11. So I mean, it wasn't just people. It was everything. And the sense of pride that you feel for one of these super dogs is just as powerful as for a fireman or a policeman or someone from the military. You know, so I think you did a great job with this. But again, I really love the fact that you ended us with the giggle there too, Hatter. It was very cute. Great share. And before I get a comment from David.
The secret weapon that we had in Iraq, in Korea, in Vietnam, and World War II were the dogs. You don't hear about them. There's nothing worse for an enemy combatant in an urban setting and have a dog sniffing you out. They were bounties on these dogs. There were bounties on these dogs for the enemy to kill them. So they were unsung heroes.
Yes.
Yeah, they sure are. And before I have a comment from David, let's say hi to my sweet. Hey, sweet. Glad you're here.
Hello. Thank you. How are you guys?
Hi.
We're doing all right.
Good.
I was just about to get a comment from Dave Prophet on Hatter's poem. So, Dave.
Well, I'd love to comment on this because I've been a dog person all my life, mostly German Shepherds, and to see a German Shepherd hanging out of this car is just priceless. Dogs focus on one thing, and that is their owners. And a lot of people forget that you, as an owner, are the dog's entire world. You supply their entertainment, you supply their food for them, their companionship and stuff like that. Of course, they give that back too, but you know, we have to do that for them. And they're a very noble animal. You know, they're some of the smartest critters on earth, and I would dare to say they're smarter than monkeys. From what I've seen of monkeys, they don't hold a candle to canine intelligence. But anyway, I thought this poem was really well done. All your stuff is well done, Hatter. It always is. It always blows me away. But I like like the last two lines in the last stanza. Reading is fun, but when he's all done, he's singing Auld Lang Syne. That was priceless. Really good. This was cool. Well done.
Thanks. Thank you.
Great comment, David. And my sweet, did you hear or take a look at Hatters?
I did not get to hear it, but I have read it. And I just want to thank you, Hatter, for bringing one of the most amazing creatures that we use to death in rescues for out here skiers. These dogs actually, I don't know if a lot of people know that in the military, they actually parachute out of planes. They rappel out of helicopters. They go under, literally, into the water with our special forces. They jump into water in pitch black night. They trust us so much, and they do so much for us, and they save so many lives, and so many of them are actually blown up in minefields. And, you know, I know you were talking about the Vietnam War, and the fact that they were just left there. That breaks my heart. I just love this because they were heroes during 9/11. I had a really hard time with this subject, so, but it was just beautiful.
Awesome.
So it's a great poem.
And I it also leads me to something we were saying a few moments ago too about how there's heroes as bold and vivid and sad and powerful as the one that has you crying right now. And then there's heroes on a different level. And I feel like because we just did a dog poem that I have to give a little nod to the hero dog out there at the Mile High City that takes care of you, Mr. Amadeus. He might not jump into fires, but if you were in one, I know he would to come and drag your ass out of there and save you. And
Everyone, I have no doubt about it.
Yep. Or sit on your leg so that you can't even get up and go powder your nose because he's afraid that you might fall down. So he's a hero.
I know.
And I just wanted to mention him.
And there he goes.
Rock me, Amadeus. Awesome. And in the meantime, my sweet, your poem is on the board.
Oh.
No.
All right. This is called 22. Okay, and I can get through this, I promise, as I lie to all of you. So let me get back to where it was. Crap. Okay, sorry about this,
guys. If you want a moment, I can put Wayne's recording on first. I only have yours and his left. We're only doing an hour today.
Okay, I've got it. No, I've
cool.
got it right
okay.
in front of me. I apologize.
All right.
I just, my computer jumped on me. So this is 22. He stood in silence, listening to the cacophony of hushed whispers as footsteps echoed a 21-gun salute to the fallen. He was just 22 when the towers fell to the ground on 9/11. He walked into a nightmare and never returned. Shouting out for survivors in clouds of white dust, listening to the screams of the dying and lullaby tunes. In the shadows of Freedom Towers, he still hears the moans. Fingers wiggled from cracks in the rubble. He laid his head on the ground and saw the tears in her eyes. She did not die alone, but forever he carries her bones. Human parts mingled in rocks, steel, and mixed in the earth, anger and fear mixed into his soul, building hate against the authors of this brutality and pain. He wondered when the world would stop masturbating over the corpses of war. She picked up the body of a child no older than 4. The sun had risen and fallen more than twice, and he was sure. A man like himself took his hand and said rest. Fell into his rig and collapsed. He stood in silence, listening to the cacophony of hushed whispers.
footsteps echoed at 21 gun salute to fall. It was just 22 when the towers fell to the ground on 9/11.
Wow. I have a feeling that Amadeus was picking up your grief as you read.
Yeah.
And you know, sweet, I like that. That kind of sounds odd, but you know what I mean. You mentioned the child, and I never thought to mention them when I was saying about how many were killed. I had forgot about the fact that part of that was a daycare. And the thought of the children is so gut-wrenching. My goodness.
You take kids to work, visiting fathers, children on the plane. I mean, there were a lot of young children there, women that were pregnant, women that had just breastfeeding. I mean, it's not just the daycare. It was like alive. There was just, you know, there were a lot.
Yeah, and the image, the thought of him picking up this child no older than four, and you can picture the limp body and the, I'm trying not to cry too, the overwhelming emotion that must have gut-kicked that responder. And the look on his face and the art you chose says that. It's like no more. It's mm-hmm. You know, how can this be? This is a nightmare. A great way to put it. He walked into a nightmare and never returned. And so many did. And the ones who did return, a lot of those died a slower death from the repercussions of the things that were going on as they were trying to save people. So I think that you spoke on it with great power. And at the moment, the image of that limp child is kicking my butt, to say the least. Amazing poem.
Thank you.
You always impress my sweet.
Thank
David?
You.
Oh, this was fantastic, Pam. I mean, really. I like the third stanza. Fingers wiggled from cracks in the rubble. He laid his head on the ground and saw the tears in her eyes. She did not die alone, but forever he carries her bones. You know, to see something like this, you will carry this around for the rest of your life. You never forget it. It is part of who you are. It becomes part of you, however dark that is. You know, it's just it's inescapable, especially if you're in the type of work that this gentleman here is. You know, it's. I don't know. We never, ever should forget 9/11 or 9/11. I don't know. I just, you know, and there are people that, you know, try to, well, there's people that said that the Holocaust never happened either. So it's the same mentality as this, you know, talking about
people
this.
Say the earth is flat, Dave. We just got to ignore stupidity.
Yeah. And I was really, really taken away with how you wrote this, and it put a knot in my throat, and you know, it really good, really good, Pam. I really like this. It was an outstanding write.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, David. And Hatter, comment for Sweet.
Yeah, you did very well at the point of when firemen apply for the job, they know what they're getting into. They know the first responder, what it's going to entail. You're going to some scenes that are just bad, but these guys, the horrific things they saw could only change it drastically. It would make you stronger, I would hope. But, yeah, the things they witnessed this and survived, the ones that survived, they've got to be a survivor's guilt in that, too, some of the companies.
Yeah.
You know, you don't prepare yourself for that, my Lord. Very good, sweet.
Right. Thank you.
Great comment. And, wow. Okay, so I saved Wayne's for last just in case he made it, but I don't see him on the board or up in that window. So if you guys click on his poem, I will push play.
This is called Coast Guard Warriors. When Davy Jones is looking for a guest, that's where the Coast Guard is at their best. It doesn't matter which month you're in need. At Mayday is the word the Coast Guard will heed. When out at sea and there's trouble aboard, we can bet the guard is heading toward. They're the first to respond down the coastal shore with boats and helicopters and lots more. They've been part of the military for quite some time, also part of Homeland Security to fight crime. They're the first on the scene and know how to act. They're in place just in case our shores are attacked. The first responders are trained to be bold. Doesn't matter how deep or how cold. When it comes to the immigrants, they make a stand, and you better not get caught with contraband. Our Coast Guard is the 12th largest Navy on Earth. They can fight, search, block ships, or help give birth. They rule our coastline with a strong central command. They're the best first responders, not on land. In.
Great music in the background.
Yeah, it was.
Coast Guard Warriors. I love that he chose this one, this art, because of the Coast Guards. Because, like, I know quite often you'll hear people say, when they speak of the military, they say Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. But for the longest time, they never included Coast Guard in that list. And that always stuck with me. It was like, you know, hello. They're out there like the Navy responding, and if they can stop them from getting to land by being in the water or save them in the land. I mean, there's just so many things that they do. It's an incredible thing, that Coast Guard, and like I said, not nearly as respected in the past as the other branches of the military. So I really like that he touched on that. And I think it's the center, that they've been a part of the military for quite some time and also part of Homeland Security to fight crime. They are the first on the scene and know how to act. They are in place in case our shores, like I said, for such an important thing. And then you think about, say, natural disasters and hurricanes. There's your rescuers with their helicopters, and they come into these floods and they rescue people. So I don't know why it took so long for people to stand up and give them the respect as the other military branches. So it's just it's a great poem. There was an enthusiasm in his voice as he read, too. The first responders are trained to be bold. Doesn't matter how deep or how cold. When it comes to immigrants, they make a stand, and you better not get caught with contraband. That made me laugh a little bit, but it's true. You know, you better not get caught with contraband. I don't know why it just made me giggle just a bit. But I love the respect that was paid to the Coast Guard in this. I guess, well, it's not really off subject. My first boyfriend's sister has a daughter, and her daughter's in the Coast Guard. And I think that is so amazing. And I think that was the first time I realized that they don't get the same type of respect that other military branches did, you know, quite a few years ago. And it has improved. But again, I'm really thrilled that that's the direction that Wayne took.
I think that Coast Guard, wasn't it basically the last defense of our nation to guard our coastlines? And it's different than the National Guard. I think some people think they're the same thing, and I don't think they are, the National Guard and the Coast Guard. But the roles have changed through the years.
Yeah, very
and
true.
It is probably, yeah.
Do you want to keep commenting on the poll?
Yeah. The 12th largest Navy on Earth, Coast Guard. That's amazing. 12th. Shoot. I had something. I wish you could highlight something as you read so you could go back and find it. I can't find it. McClellan Air Force Base is a logistics and maintenance Air Force Base here in Sacramento. And it also houses the Coast Guard. You see the Coast Guard planes coming in and out, but we are about 150 miles from the coast. So there was always a joke of the Coast Guard defending Folsom Lake, which is the nearest lake here. Unwarranted, of course, but they didn't get the respect. They said, the one lady, when I first got here and started writing all poetry, this lady came to me. I wrote one about the ocean, like one of my first ocean poems. She came to me, and it was about the Coast Guard coming out and saving lives in rough seas. That's your only hope, is the Coast Guard. And many a sailor knows that. This lady came to me and said she would like to use my poem if I could, because a Coast Guard in the North Sea had just saved her son's life the week before, and she was going to bring some cookies up to him or something, but she wanted to know if she could take the poem. And I said, certainly. And didn't hear from him again, but I'm hoping somewhere in the North Sea in some Coast Guard building is my poem.
That's really cool, Hatter. I think I remember you talking about that before, and wouldn't that be amazing if it was on a wall? That's so awesome. Sweet, what did you think?
I think it's an incredible write. It's got all the right tribute to the Coast Guard, who do more in a day than anybody does most weeks. I know they do more in a day than I do in a week. And, like, they're always there. You don't know about, you know, the Coast Guard is like the silent, you know, working military that we have, because they're always on the base. They're on the lakes. They're on the, you know, and they're handling drunks. They're handling things that we don't even know they're handling. They're watching out for us, and they don't get the grandiose things that we all need and that they deserve. Because, oh, it's the Coast Guard. No, it's the Coast Guard. And they were definitely really right there right now in the whole wide world when 9/11 happened. They were the ones right there filling up the water, filling up the tanks. I mean, if it wasn't for the Coast Guard, we could have lost even twice as many people as we did. So
yeah, any ocean or sea distress, the Coast Guard is the one monitoring.
The first person they go to.
Absolutely. Good point.
Absolutely, yeah. And David?
Yeah, I like this a lot. Wayne did a really fine job in outlining this story, his storyline. I remember, with some humor attached to this, some of those Somali pirates decided to hijack our Coast Guard cutter, and they didn't realize what it was. And so they pull up, they get within shouting distance of the ship, and they see all these guns and stuff up there. And the Coast Guard turned around and started shooting over the top of them and around them and stuff. And I was just hugging myself. I thought, this is perfect. I guess the Navy wasn't around or, you know, dispatched for that at that particular point in time. And so the Coast Guard was kind of taking up the slack, and they had some of these cutters out there that were armed to the teeth, you know, when these pirates figured out what was going on, they hauled ass. They wouldn't have no part of that. And I thought that was brilliant. I thought it was really cool. I'm glad to see the Coast Guard getting some recognition too. Yeah, they deserve it for sure.
Yeah, they hit him at night. They didn't think that. They thought it was a cargo vessel.
Yeah,
but I think it was naval. Yeah. I think it was a naval ship that was dispatched to deal with the pirates. If it's the same one. But yeah, what a surprise! You're trying to attack a fully loaded Russian vessel.
I think it's great.
But, they did the same thing to a Russian. They did the same thing to a Russian, or they tried to do the same thing to a Russian ship, and turned out a lot worse for them than with our.
Well, sure.
There, yeah.
Yeah, I can just imagine. The Russians aren't quite as. Forgiving, I guess, is the word, you know, I know that some of that stuff, when those pirates first started doing that, I know that the Coast Guard took up some of the slack before the Navy got really involved in it. And you're right, that ambush was done at night, and it was a Navy ship. I got it mixed up with some of the stuff the Coast Guard did early on, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. They're arming all the boats, cargo boats. We've got freaking machine guns on them now for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Well, and these guns that they're using on those ships, those are 20 millimeters and bigger, and you know, a 20 millimeter round, it'll go through anything. It'll go through armored personnel carriers, tanks, flimsy, wooden, rotten pirate boats. Just nothing slows them down, you know.
The same thing the A-130 gunship has. One of the.
Well, yeah. Arsenals. No, that's the A-130 gunship uses the gunship uses a pair of 20s, but the Warthogs use a 30 millimeter. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's even worse. Yeah.
Sorry, Deb. Got tangent.
All good. All good. All right. So here we are at the end of the show. I just wanted to point out on the board. I put up Sky's topic for tomorrow. Although I heard from her this afternoon, and she's really not feeling well. But she's got her fingers crossed. She'll feel up to doing her show tomorrow, so just keep an eye on the board because the topic's really cool. She's got some critters that she found on YouTube and shared them, and I had fun writing mine, so hopefully, not just because of the show, I just hate the thought that she's feeling so lousy, so let's hope she feels better for tomorrow, and if so, she will go live at 8 o'clock Eastern time. And then, on a special circumstance, sad but special circumstance, on Wednesday we will go live, but we aren't looking for any poetry because the bulk of the presentation Wednesday night is already recorded. One of the poets that we featured their words as inspiration during my series where I picked quotes from everyone that participated in the radio shows. One of the participants was Alf Collier. And I don't know how many people know, but Alf is actually a woman, a 93-year-old woman. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, she passed away about 2 weeks ago. And AP's going to share some information on her, and he's going to host the show, and he'll start it off with a poem written by Alf, which is his goodbye poem, her goodbye poem. And then there's 41 minutes from the show, which will feature all the poems that we all wrote to his quotes that week. And then there's a poem that AP wrote for her. And then we will close out the show with the song that played at her funeral. So if you're not doing anything Wednesday night at 9 Eastern, like I said, there's no need to call in, but if you just show up to the chat room and click on the link and listen to the replay of the show, it's a nod to Alf, 93 years on this earth, and it's our tribute to her. And then my suite had to go, so I'm not sure what she's doing Thursday night, so keep an eye on the topic board. I want to say thank you to the board again, Sweet Pea and Hatter and AP Taylor. And I want to thank Stephen and Angel and Jenny and Wayne and Gerald and you, David, for calling and hanging out. I want to remind her that it's 22 years since 9/11, and I think that the poems that were presented tonight were an amazing, amazing variety and an amazing tribute to the first responders of all types. I'm so proud of everyone, although I always am, you know. And we touched on, excuse me, we touched earlier on the fact that because of something that Jenny said in her poem, that this was meant to bring us to our knees, and instead we rose and we put out our flag, and our patriotism shined like no other time in our lives that I was around to see. And I thought it would be a good, I mean, the pride, where do you go? So I thought we would close the show tonight with a song by Lee Greenwood, Proud to Be an American. And Lee is a singer. He wrote God Bless the USA, which is also known as Proud to Be an American. It's a patriotic song written and recorded by Lee and is considered to be his signature song now. The album first appeared in 1984, and it reached number 7. And then it became popular again in 88 during the presidential election, and then again in 90 and 91 for the Gulf War. And then it reached number 16 on the Billboard Top 100 in 2001 because of September 11th. And we are proud to be Americans, and we were so filled with pride on 9/11, and I thought it would be an excellent way to close out the show. So with that said, I'm going to push play, and we'll never forget what happened 22 years ago. Love and respect, everyone.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again, just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. But I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her till today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. Today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. Defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
God bless the USA. Proud to be an American. Great show. Thanks so much, Hatter. Night.